A short warning before we start. This episode contains some scary and possibly disturbing content. I have tried to keep the details vague and mild in case it is played in the vicinity of small children, but as it is spooky season, some of the episodes from now until Christmas may feature some darker themes. Concerned parents should listen to the episodes before sharing them with their children. You have been warned. Here in the South, it seems like every old house has a story. Sometimes, these stories slip into our own. Such is the case of the Porter Mansion in Key West, Florida. The home was built in 1839, and the third story was added in 1870. In 1845, the house was sold to Joseph Porter from Charleston, South Carolina, whose wife wanted to start their family in Key West. While the couple had several children, they both passed away young, around age 30 and 32. Their grandmother came to Key West to care for the children, one of whom was Dr. Joseph Yates Porter, who was born in that very house. He discovered that yellow fever was carried by mosquitoes. He lived in the mansion for 80 years and died in the very room he was born in. The good doctor is the one who added the third story to the house, and most of the ghost activity in the house is rumored to take place there. One of the current residents lives in an apartment on the third floor. He said that whenever he returns to his room, his pocket change that he left on his living room table will be stacked neatly into a column. He says that there is never any hostility or a sense of danger from the coin stacking ghost. I have to say, if my house is going to be haunted, I would definitely choose the compulsive cleaning phantom if that was an option. A woman who lives there says that she's often awakened by loud parlor music. She has to get out of bed, walk into her living room, and loudly announce, "I'm trying to sleep now, try again later." Upon doing this, the music will stop, only to resume in a day or two. Like the earlier man, she claims she's never been afraid of the presence, it just robs her of sleep every now and then. One of the bartenders might disagree with this sentiment, as one night, he called out last call and heard a customer still shuffling around. When he reminded them that it was time to clear out, shot glasses and wine glasses began to fall onto the bar and shatter. The bartender ran out of the room and quit shortly afterward. Another lady bartender had better luck with the spirit. When she saw a man at the counter in 18th century clothing, she assumed that he was a historical reenactor and didn't think much of it. She served him a glass of wine and turned back to the counter to put away a glass. When she turned back to him, the man was gone, leaving behind nothing but enough dimes to pay for his drink in a perfect, neat stack. These hauntings don't hold a candle to the ones you'll find over in St. Francisville, Louisiana. Here, we pass through live oaks draped in Spanish moss, sweeping in the breeze like ghosts, and wander our way up to the Myrtles Plantation. Thought by some to be the most haunted house in the United States, the house was built in 1796 by General David Bradford, who originally called it Laurel Grove. When he died in 1808, his wife took over the home for a while, then sold it to her son-in-law, Judge Clark Woodruff. This is where the trouble began to start. According to legend, the family had a slave named Chloe, who Clark was having an affair with. Chloe began to fear that the master would get sick of her, or worse, her master's wife would find out about the affair. As a result, she picked up a nasty little habit of eavesdropping on the couple when they were in their private chambers. When Clark caught her, he ended the affair and cut off her ear as punishment. Chloe wasn't going to take that kind of treatment laying down. She was rumored among the slaves to be a witch, and when a witch decides to take her revenge, things are about to get serious. Chloe used a turban to hide her missing ear and immediately escalated the already horrible situation by punishing the judge by poisoning his wife and children. Some say that she was simply trying to make the family sick so that she could nurse them back to health and earn her place back in her master's good graces. Others say that it was a deliberate murder. Either way, the other slaves were terrified that Woodruff would punish them all, so they got proactive and hung Chloe themselves. Several photos have been taken around the Myrtles of a shadowy figure of a young girl in a turban. It's likely the appearance of this phantom that has led to the story the legend of Chloe and not the other way around. There's no record of any slave named Chloe on the property, and the judge's wife and kids are on the record as having passed away due to illness, not to mention that at this point, slaves were incredibly expensive, like the cost of a brand new pickup truck or the price of a small house. That being the case, I think it's very unlikely that the slaves would have hung Chloe to avoid punishment. That's a lot of money. It's more likely that he would have punished or sold her himself, rather than punish all the other slaves for her actions. These people were enslaved, but they weren't stupid. I don't think they thought that hanging the equivalent of $40,000 to $100,000 would prevent them being punished. That part only makes sense if you have no idea what the economic and agricultural value of a slave was in that culture, or if you assume that the slaves who hung her were some strange combination of stupid and oblivious to the basic psychology of greedy people. I don't think they were. I think they were more intelligent than that. Still, Chloe or not, there are still photos all over the place of mysterious, shadowy figure in a turban on the grounds of the Myrtle Plantation. For those of you who are here for the spooky stuff, let not your hearts be troubled. One of the weirdest things on property is a gold mirror that is always foggy, no matter how many times you clean it. From time to time, faces and even small childlike handprints are visible within the mirror, as though cursed souls are trapped there. The ghost of an owner, who was shot while he was teaching Sunday school class, repeats his final moments, staggering up the stairs and begging for help. When the Union Army swept through the South, they looted, ate, and burned everything in their path, salting the earth and crippling the agriculture-based economy. When three such soldiers were raiding their way through the Myrtles to take what didn't belong to them because they had never earned it, they were met with the appropriate response, a shiny new shotgun hole in their chest. The stain left on the marble floor by their bleeding bodies is said to remain visible no matter what attempts are made to clean it up. There is a little, giggling girl ghost who tends to pick out a favorite guest and follow them, whispering and giggling to them throughout their entire visit. It is estimated that some 12 ghosts haunt the Myrtles Plantation. It became a B&B in the 70s, and they welcome you to come stay for a night. But be wary. Whether it's named after the laurels or the beautiful crepe myrtles that surround it, this plantation is a hub of spooky activity, so stay away from the mirror. And sleep tight.